Welcome to Beyond the Skyline. This podcast is dedicated to topics relating to UAPs, disclosures, and to experiencers of all kinds. I'm your host, Sheila Seppi, and our guest for this episode is Alan Seinfeld. Now, Alan is a prominent figure in the realms of consciousness, exploration, extraterrestrial contact, and even spiritual inquiry, and is the host of the widely acclaimed long-running show, New Realities. He has been instrumental in bringing forth thought-provoking discussions and insightful interviews with leading experts, visionaries, and pioneers in various fields. Now, Alan's also authored a book called Making Contact, Preparing the new re for New Realities and Extraterrestrial Existence. And in this book, he offers a comprehensive exploration of the possibilities and the implications of the human interaction with beings from other worlds. Now, in addition to his media endeavors, he is a very highly sought after speaker and presenter, sharing his insights and experiences at conferences, seminars, and workshops all around the world. And fortunately, today, he is going to be with us and he's going to share the Arrow report just issued by the Department of Defense. So, welcome to Beyond the Skyline, Alan. How are you?
It's great to be here. Yeah, this report is very disturbing that was put out by the Department of Defense. And I think it's, I mean, other people have reviewed it, and this is not going to be. Well, it's just only a week old, really. And so it's like still needs to be analyzed. And the reasons, the basically it comes down to that there's a complete all and out denial of anything called the UFO extra. I mean, they say there's UFOs, but they're not extraterrestrial. There's no proof that it's extraterrestrial. So my first thing is, what would kind of proof do you need to know if it's extraterrestrial? They don't know, you know, when you're asked this question. So what would prove to you that it's not of this world? And they don't know. They don't have an idea. I mean, but you know, there's levels here. This is, there's levels inside the government. This is a gaslighting report.
Yeah. And it's really counter to what happened last year in the congressional hearings, isn't it?
It's totally counter. Not only that, it's a counter. They're calling those whistleblowers that came forth liars. You're saying there's crash retrieval in alien bodies? We say we have no evidence of that. So it's like, and it's the same department that I think,
right.
I mean, Defense Department, they let this guy, David Grush, come out with whistleblower secrets, you know, and then they're saying, no, don't listen to them. So what happens is, more than out and out denials, it's a strategy of different kind of imperialistic thinking to confuse people.
Right.
So it's not like, no, there's no UFO. So they let something out. I think this might be their big range plans. Who knows what they're really thinking? And then they say, no, that's not true. It's like they did that with Roswell. So instead of out and out of denials, which can be like refuted, the average person says, what you're saying there isn't, I don't know what to believe, let's forget it. So it's more an intention to confuse people,
right,
than to acknowledge, than to flat out say, no, it's not here. And sort of an ongoing strategy, probably since 47.
Right.
I mean,
so this really puts a damper on the excitement that people had for the potential disclosure.
Right. And some people say, well, what do we matter? I think I talked about that in your program. Why do we need the government to okay?
Right.
Because, well, no, obviously there's something here and it's not of this earth. And I think that's true. We don't need the government. And on another level, the government, it used to be the church, forms consensus reality. Like, it's not real until everyone in the culture decides that it is real. So, I mean, it's real for me, it's definitely real for you, but we're the outsiders. You know, we are not accepted because the reality that's been classified and denied is a consensus reality. So we're living in our own little bubble, Sheila, me and you, but there's a much bigger collective consciousness that then we have to do battle with. We have to, and if it was just out, and who knows why it's being kept a secret, but if it was just out and saying, yes, we have the bodies, we have all that, and then it would be clearer where we stand. But their purpose is confusion. It
Right.
really is.
I
So,
was speaking with someone the other day, and they were referencing a conversation that they had heard by, I'm not sure if it was military or whom it was, but it was definitely government officials. And they were referring to the extraterrestrials as angelic beings. And this person shared with me that their personal thought was if they're starting to call them some of these beings angelic, what happens when you actually have other beings that come in? Are they going to start calling them demons? Is there going to be, and so there were so many discussions going around about this disinformation campaign that really has gaslighted an entire population of people.
right, and that was the total purpose of this report, to gaslight everyone that we essentially know in our community, Sheila, and
Right.
just say, no, you're hallucinating. Go back to normal. Go back. Forget about whatever you saw. We got it handled. It's none of your business. And it deprives us of an expansion of consciousness. I mean, doesn't on a personal level, we still are going for and was still building momentum, but we need to do this collectively, and we are just keep hitting walls, or there's like two steps forward, one step back. So we've just taken a step back collectively, and it doesn't mean we have to stop. Robert Graves, when who was it, Cuomo, asked him on a show, will this stop you? He goes, no, this will not deter us from fighting for the truth. And it won't deter anyway. It actually empowers us even more to say, why the out and out denial? So let me just show you that report. Yes, right here. This is what's called, do you see this?
Absolutely.
This says the Department of Defense All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Well, the first thing that I have contention with here is, if they know what all these things are, why are they keep it calling it anomaly? Anomaly is for stuff you don't know. They keep referring to what's out there as anomaly, and then they say, and in the next breath, oh, we know what's out there. So why would they call it anomalies if they knew what it was? That's the first thing that caught my attention as something really confusing. Report on the historical record of U.S. government involvement with unidentified anomalous phenomena. What they're missing here are the earlier reports. This is not an historical record. What about Project Blue Book, which ended in 1969, that basically went from the 50s to 69? There's a total discounting of that here.
Right. And I notice here unidentified anomalous phenomenon. They've taken out aerial phenomenon and replaced it with anomalous.
Yeah, they just they, that was the further development. So for people who are paying attention and not, they went from flying saucers in 1947 to unidentified flying objects, UFOs, after the flyover over the Capitol in 1952. And then in 2017, the official name began as unidentified aerial phenomena, and just recently, I guess that was too much. I don't guess they were telling us too much. It was more than aerial, it's anomaly. Anomaly. So it's now called unidentified anomalous phenomena, which is sort of a clue to even more of the mystery. Anomalous means we really don't know what's going on here. So I and they don't. And that's the problem. They don't know what's going on there. So I just want to look up I just want to look up what they say about Project Blue Book here. Where's my finder. Where's this? Anyway, was there a place on here to
Go
find?
to the search.
Where is my search? It's being covered by my thing. Okay, yeah. Anyway, I want to see what they say about Project Blue Book, because even Project Blue Book said there's stuff out there we don't know what it is. So that was some reassurance that no, I lost that. Yeah, let me go back here. Anyway, I'll just scroll through this a little bit. So they have 46, 47, 48. You know, we didn't even know what was happening in 46. And they kind of go through, oh, they do have a Project Blue Book on page 18. Let's just see. Project Blue Book was what brought J. Allen Hynek into the study. And he came on originally as a debunker. And he said, wait a minute, wait a minute. These people that are telling me they saw things are seeing real things. So, oh, yeah. So let's start in 1949. This was Project Grudge. When they first said, they first started to, so they keep opening these agencies for investigation, and the agencies keep saying, we don't, there's nothing out there, which is very suspicious. But Project Grudge, was there another? Yeah. Project Sign 48, 49. Was that the first one? Oh, Project Saucer. I'd never even heard of that, you know. The exact date of founding for this effort, well, its official and unofficial name is unclear. How could it be unclear when they have all these records? General Nathan Twining was kind of the official spokesperson for the first kind of rumblings of UFO, UAP, flying saucer phenomena. So the Project Saucer investigated one of the well-known accounts by Kenneth Arnold. Kenneth Arnold is the person who coined the term flying saucer when he saw these flying disc-like objects skipping over Mount Rainier heading south. So he compared the character of tall Chinese kites. Arnold described the shape as saucer-like. That was the first. I never heard of flying saucer. And then from Project Saucer, we went to Project Sign. And there were 243 reports in Project Sign. And this is where General Hoyt Vandenberg said, this is it. The report allegedly that UFOs were interplanet. This is interesting. The report allegedly concluded that UFOs were interplanetary in origin, but this was rejected by the U.S. Air Force Chief of Staff Hoyt Vandenberg as lacking proof. So they don't tell you how it was determined that it was interplanetary, but they tell you they rejected it. So this is the whole debunking process, that this is really the history of debunking here. The rejected report may have resulted in Pentagon leadership loss of confidence in the staff. So this guy just comes along and says there's no proof, and he's not asking for the proof that said what made people conclude that this was interplanetary. So some sources here claim possess an institutional bias for debunking claims. Oh, that's true. That's one truth. Then we get Project Grudge, which replaced Project Sign. And Project Grudge was terminated in 1949. The US Air Force did not stop collecting and analyzing reports of UFOs, rather it was folded into its existing intelligence process. So they keep getting reports of unidentified flying object, and they keep denying its existence. This is what's so confusing here, you know, or to the public who would be following this. The US Air Force subsequently implemented a public affairs campaign designed to persuade the public that UFOs constituted nothing unusual or extraordinary. They're not denying the existence, but this was a. Now, this, look at the wording here. I'm highlighting it. This one. The U.S. Air Force implemented a public affairs campaign to persuade. It was an intentional campaign to tell people that that these objects are nothing unusual. It doesn't mean they were nothing unusual. It means they instituted a campaign to tell people it was nothing unusual or extraordinary. You see, it's very like sort of subtle and intentional. In 1949, the U.S. Air Force asserted that UFO reports were misinterpretations of natural phenomena, man-made craft, and fabrication. But if you go to the U.S. Air Force website and look up Project Blue Book, it doesn't say that. What it says on the U.S. Air Force website, when you look up Project Blue Book, that UFOs do not pose a threat to national security.
So, and what about all of the photographs that were released a couple years ago and still continued to be released by the military that's clearly showing craft, whether they're coming out of the water, going into the water, whether they're in the air, etc.?
And what about it is right. What about it is something they don't care. They want to give us a very strict narrative and saying, this is how it is. We keep looking and nothing keeps coming up, but they ignore the photographs, they ignore the videos, they ignore the witness sightings by their own military pilots. When David Fravor was chasing the Tic Tac, he saw that with his own eyes. He wasn't on the sensors. So, you know, then there's this Project Twinkle, established in summer of 1949, to investigate UFO reports, witnesses by numerous observers in Nevada and Mexico. These UFOs were described as green fireballs streaking across the sky and a fireball near a craft. So the literature is not clear if Project Twinkle was officially supported by the original Project Grudge. They know exactly what's going on in the history of the Defense Department. And they're saying it's not clear, but it was managed by the U.S. Air Force Cambridge Research Laboratory. The goal of this investigation is to use multiple high-powered cameras. The project was able to secure one camera, which frequently moved between locations. So basically, Project Grudge, let's see, what do they conclude in Project Grudge? No evidence of, here again, the same refrain here, no evidence. What kind of evidence? They're seeing craft that are moving beyond our capabilities of technology, and they're saying there's no evidence of UFO, UAP were discovered. They say this here. So then we move on to Project Bear, which I also never heard of. Based on statistical analysis of UFO sightings, dates, locations, conclude that all cases had enough data were resolved and explained. But there was, you know, they're saying they explained the cases, but if you go to Project Blue Book, which I think begins, why do they keep studying this keep saying that there's nothing there? So, CIA evaluation of UFOs in 1964. I mean, there's so much here. Just and anyone can go and look up Arrow, AARO, historical UAP report. You know, so this is interesting. The Condyne report was developed by this guy Condyne, who used to work for the government, and he said, no, there's nothing happening there. And after the Condyne report on Project Blue Book, Hynek actually defected. It was around that time they said, what do you mean there's nothing here? I'm hearing people seeing something. You can't just wipe this away. So J. Allen Hynek was the first real defector from inside the government to say, wait a minute, why are we not telling people the truth? And he never really came to a clear conclusion why we didn't. It's just that they wanted to protect their hold. Oh, so here's Project Blue Book. Project Blue Book organized into three categories. And it was from that that J. L. Hynek developed the levels of close encounters. It was Hynek that said, close encounter one is objects from a distance. Close encounter two is objects closer by. Close encounter three is where you see beings on board the craft. And it, he didn't take it any further than Close Encounter of the Third Kind. But then other people have taken it to the fourth kind and fifth kind. Some people, there's argument over what Close Encounter of the Fifth Kind really means. Some people it means abduction. I think it might, what Stephen Greer is saying, no, we're calling in the craft. That's what CE5s are about. So, some debate about the terminology. So, Blue Book, which was the kind of official report that lasted from 47 to 47 to 1969, recorded 12,000 cases of UFO sightings, and most of these were stars, comets, fireballs, auroras, which I doubt, or balloons, or aircraft, or afterburners from jet fuel. Other UFO resolutions include stellar mirages, satellites, flares, or some kind of confirmed hoaxes. They're not telling you in this report that there were, oh, they maybe they do here. The researcher presents amount, they're not telling you of all the cases that were none of those. There was oh, here, this is what I'm looking. Out of the 12,000 sightings, 700 were categories unidentified and never resolved. So why are they saying those might not be other interplanetary craft? They just say they weren't any of the above. They weren't balloons. They weren't misidentified craft. They were unresolved, and let's just call it a wash. There's 700 cases. We don't know what they. If one of those cases were, and of course they have crash retrieval. This is just like wasting people's energy to look at this. They're not telling people what David Grush said. Lower, right? That we have crash retrieval of non-human origins, and this is something that Chuck Schumer, you know who Chuck Schumer is, right?
So have they discounted the reports of having the non-human beings?
They don't even mention it in here. They totally ignore, there's no mention of Grush in here. They totally ignore everything that was said in front of Congress. Last July, July 23rd, was it 26? Maybe it was 26, 2023, three people confirmed inside the DOD, Department of Defense, that there were UFO. So they're calling these people basically liars. Oh, you said this? Well, we found no evidence of anything you said. So either they're out and out lying, or they're maybe, there's there's something that they call when people inside the government are not told something, and then they can.
Plausible deniability.
Yes, plausible deniability. That's right. Thank you. So, because they were never told about the crash retrieval, they can honestly say there weren't any. So, because no one ever told them about this. So, this is. This is very strange. They get into what the ATIP program was about, which was started by Harry Reid. And Harry Reid knows there's something going on. Chuck Schumer knows there's something going on. Why else would he put the phrase non-human intelligence in his Schumer Amendment? It was called the Schumer Disclosure Amendment, which was actually voted out of the National Defense Authorization Act, or most of it was. So the goal of ATIP here was supposed that ET visitations are true and the moderators would steer the debate away from dead discussion. Okay. Stated goal of the proposal was to increase public interest in government disclosure around the ET topic and explore the consequences of disclosure. What are they disclosing? Why are they even mentioned as disclosing if they've already said there's nothing here to look at? This is, they keep contradicting themselves. There's nothing here to look at, and why is there a need to a disclosure? So it's, if someone's following this, you have to dissect how we're being manipulated by those in charge of the official statements, right? So
Well, we already know that there was a very strong disinformation campaign. I mean, that's already been discussed. And now we have this. I think most people, if they're following this, are really going to be able to see right through it.
Yeah. Well, I think so, because you can, if there's reports that you have not identified, then why are you saying case closed, we've resolved this all? So it's poor diplomacy. It's very poor information exchange. They talk about SERPA, which I think was when concluded the majority of cases possess ordinary explanation why 28 of the caseloads remain unresolved. 28%, over a quarter of the cases they've investigated, and none of these organizations found evidence of extraterrestrial visitation. Well, why don't they look at the bodies that are kept at Area 51, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base? Supposedly, Wright-Patterson was very key in the early UFO phases. That's where the bodies from Roswell were taken. And you have Edgar Mitchell confirming that people, he grew up in Roswell, he was an astronaut, saying that there were little bodies that were taken from the crash site. So at various points in history, this is an interesting point. Individual inside and outside the U.S. government, including Dr. Hynek, claimed that the U.S. Air Force had the key goal of debunking or explaining away UAP reports. Arrow found no evidence to suggest that the U.S. had policies intended to cover up ex, but yet the UFO talk. Richard Doty, who I interviewed, who worked on the inside, said there was absolutely a policy to debunk people and evidence of extraterrestrial phenomena. So they're giving us a very one side. When they say there's no evidence to suggest that US Air Force had a policy intended to cover up evidence of extraterrestrial knowledge or material, they're lying about the very thing they're doing, which is covering up evidence of extraterrestrial knowledge and material. They're saying there's no evidence, but this report actually is the evidence. Isn't that sort of ironic there?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just odd that they would go through, I think this is about 67 pages of lies and cover-ups in order to make the other side of the Defense Department looked ridiculous. So what it looks like to me, and I don't know, and I'm listening to the big boys who have more inside knowledge than me, but there's a big sort of battle, I would think, inside the Department of Defense. Some people are saying it's time to tell the truth. Other people, for whatever reason, and this is the big mystery, why the big lie? Why the big, and that's, it's a big lie, but why the big lie? And if we knew why, what the people discrediting UFO phenomena really were getting out of this discrediting, are they being paid off by the fossil fuel companies? Are they getting kickbacks from private industry? This is like the big question. Forget aliens. We all know there's beings on another planet. That's not the question here. The question is, why are we being lied to? And I think once we know the reason for the lie, it's going to open up other worms, cans of worms that are not right, not about UFOs or ETs. It's about how the military is misspending the money of the United States people, misspending it in very major ways. Major ways. And there's been, according, I mean, Ross Coulthart, and he's okay, I mean, his report, he said there's a rogue element inside the US government. I mean, and it looks like that's the case. And this is something When congressional leaders say we're not getting able to get access to stuff we're giving money for, there's something wrong. This is a sort of collapse. We should show that report where Eisenhower, in his last day in office, said, "Beware of the military-industrial complex." That was December or January of 1960. He alerted the American public to this insider club that they call a legacy club, because some of the guys from 1947 that started to cover up that military scene, they're not around right now, but they've passed this down through oral tradition. It's not written down. That's why they're not finding evidence. But there's, and Grush said in a private meeting, there's about 50 people who know the full extent of the UFO situation. And but that's how these legacy programs are kept alive, because it's word of mouth. It's like a kind of religious organization where, the secrets are kept not by writing them, but by telling them, and people are initiated into the secret. It's very strange. It's very elaborate, and it's very disturbing, actually. And if more people woke up to the fact that this is happening, that we're being lied to in this report, and then you get news channels, mainstream news said, well, look, they said there's no UFOs, ETs there. It must not be, because it's coming from, and they don't tell you what just happened in July. So it's frustrating, but it makes for a great drama. Are we going to reach the touchdown? Are we going to win the Super Bowl? Or is it going, what's going to happen here? And so, all we can keep doing, Sheila, like what you're doing twice a week or your whole life, is just standing up for the truth. And I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. I think that so many people have had their own type of contact. So many people have had sightings, and people know what they know. They feel it, they understand it, and there is a wisdom about that knowingness that no report, no government official, no one can take away from people who have had these experiences. And so it's sad in a way that there are reports being issued like this that are counter to all the hard work that went in last July, to all those witnesses that testified. It's kind of a slap in the face, but that's where we are right now in our history. But I think that this disclosure movement is coming from within, and we don't need a report to tell us what we see.
I agree. It is coming within, but there is something about the official reality.
Exactly.
Galileo was put in prison for the rest of his life by showing evidence that the Earth was not the center of the cosmos. Why was that so important? Because he co-opted the narrative. The narrative
Exactly.
of the church was that this is God's kingdom, and this is the sacred place, and these are special, and you'll go to heaven. And when you make it into something else, it's disturbing for the people who want to stay in control. It doesn't matter if they're government officials or church officials, it's still about control and manipulation. And it's about someone else telling you what your truth is. So I think you're right. In this new age, in this Aquarian age, there aren't people who stand up and say, I have the truth. You only have your truth. And if
Right.
my truth aligns with your truth, and if it doesn't, that's okay. You have your truth. So in the Aquarian age, there's no one saying the truth. We
Right.
don't the truth, because there is no the truth. There's only levels of truth, right? There's only levels of possibility and experience, We're trying to understand experience here. So there was a great quote about, in the end, if we finally discover, let me see if I can find that a quote, because I think it kind of sums up what where we're at and why it's been such a struggle. We are struggling, and part of the fact is that I think the ETs themselves are putting us through this level of contemplation. It's like they say about the chicken. I'm sure you've heard that talk about the chicken. If you help the chicken, the baby chicken, crack its egg, not going to be strong enough. Tell people that, because I'm just, like
Right.
that.
Well, to my memory, it's if you assist the chicken in breaking free from the egg, if you begin to peel that shell around, that the chicken will eventually die because it never develops the skills in order to handle the chicken life. And so that parable has been shared under many circumstances, and you're bringing this up to make the point about
Pushing
gotcha.
against the stress. It's gravity that makes your bones strong. It's pushing for truth that helps us acknowledge a deeper level of reality. If they just came out and said, yeah, there's UFOs here, nothing to, it's great, it wouldn't pull out the strength and resources in us to believe in our own experience, right? We'd still be taking someone else's word. But the fact that the denial has been pushed in our face, it gives us more power to believe in ourselves. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, it really does.
This might be the strategy. The phenomena, whatever you want to call it, knows that we're being lied to, right? There was that famous crop circle and with the face of the alien that says, we oppose deception. It said that, it took like a genius to figure out what that said, but it's like, we oppose deception is right there. And so because we have to rely on our own resources, we have been strengthened in the belief about what is possible here, who our own experience. And I think that's very empowering. I think that is the strategy. And we are in a big cycle of transformation. We're in a, it doesn't happen overnight, but it's part of this, it's part of something. Here, let me read you this quote. You know who the poet Rilke is? He's a famous German poet. Did I lose you, Sheila?
No, I'm here. No, I'm not familiar with his work.
Oh, he's great. Well, he wrote this letter to a young poet, and he says, we must accept our reality as vastly as we possibly can. Everything, even the unprecedented, must be possible within it. This is, in the end, the only courage that is required of us, the courage to face the strangest, most unusual, most inexplicable experiences that can meet us. And the fact that people have not done this, have been cowardly, has done infinite harm to life, because the experiences that we call apparitions, the spirit world, those things are so close to us that through our daily defensiveness, we've pushed them away from life with the senses which might be able to grasp them, and they've been atrophied. The senses of this inner awareness, because we've been discouraged to face the unusual, they're not functioning in the way that we can, So I think that's really powerful. Let me just read you one other thing here, about which I think is really key to this phenomena here. He says, there's a new pre when there's a new presence inside of us, he says, the presence that is here has entered into our innermost chamber and is no longer even there. It's in our bloodstream, yet we don't know what it is. We can easily believe, made believe that nothing has happened, Yet we have changed as a house changes when a guest enters it. We can't say who has come, perhaps we'll never know, but many signs indicate that the future enters us in a way to transform us long before we notice it happened. Isn't that incredible? This is exactly what we're doing. The future for people like you, Sheila, and lots of people we know, has already entered us. The fifth dimensional being has already entered our psyche, and most people are trying to live an ordinary life. So that presence has entered the space of human civilization, and it's coming out in all these different ways, and yet it's been denied, and then of course it's here. That's the process of truth. You know, Schopenhauer said truth goes through three phases. First, it's completely ignored, and then it's vehemently denied, and then it is like self-evident. It's like, oh, of course, we knew that all the time. So we're in the process of the vehement denial, which is much closer than to be ignored. And then I'd say we're on a timeline where more and more sightings are happening. More and more visitations are having, more and more dreams, more and more experiences, more and more shifting of realities. You know, for the last 3 years, since COVID, nothing has been normal in the way. There is no normal now. And that was, in a way, a preparation for a big event where we will know that nothing is the way we've been told. The reality that we thought we live in and function is, was a kind of surface of an ocean. And no one has told us there's a depth there. And we, the mystics of our tribe, have known the depth, especially through your experience, Sheila. Your experience is the most unbelievable, it's believable, sorry, but the most experience that I've heard, because it is so ordinary and so important to share, just about the presence of the soul and the evolution of the soul. And I think there's a deep connection between the soul's evolution and this phenomena. It's an upgrade in awareness on the soul level to realize we're part of a much bigger level of reality than the conditioning by religions, by, you know, the military, by media, mainstream media, to say, nope, this is all a Darwinian philosophy. It's like, everything wants to put us in a box. And one of my favorite books is called The Long Revolution by Raymond Williams. And he says, it's the artists that push against those that want to be contained in the categories, and artists break down those categories because they can't fit into categories. So the long revolution is the evolution of a culture that wants to know the truth, and the artists are the engines of that change.
I was going to say, you've shared so much beautiful wisdom with us and information. Is there one final thought that you would like to leave the audience with?
Yeah, if I can find this, first I'll say we have to believe in our own reality. Mm-hmm. That's number one. If you've had an experience, no one can tell you it's not true. That's number one. There is just your experience. There's you. You are the experience holder. You know, there's your truth that is undeniable, and that's, we have to keep believing in our truth as the fact of reality. That's the number one, that we are sovereign in our truth. We really are. And that is one of the underlying messages that can't be denied. And there's a book out called The Politics of Experience that said, yes, the more we believe in our reality, not saying we can't take information from others, But the more you believe in your experience, the more the world's going to change. That's the key here. The more it can change because we are disturbing the old guard's sense of self. I'm just saying that's one thing. I'm just looking for this quote here. Sorry, I'm looking for anyway. I'll say this. Here, I'll say this. I'll just play this. I'll just share the screen right here. And this is a quote I'd love to leave people with here. This is by H.G. Wells, who wrote the first UFO contact book. But this is a quote here. Do you see that on your screen?
I do.
That civilization is a race between catastrophe and education. Let us learn the truth and spread it as far as and wide as the circumstances allow, for truth is the greatest weapon we have. That's a big key here. Truth is the greatest weapon we have. And if we keep all stretching for the truth of what's possible, then there's a reality that starts to take shape that defies everything that those seeking non-truth want to threaten us with. H.G. Wells also said, this is one of my favorite lines, someday in the future, we'll look back and find an old newspaper or article, and we'll think, was there ever such a world where there was war and people starving and corporate greed and just not allowing people to live in freedom? Was there ever such a world? And that's, I think, what I like to leave.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Alan. And people can find you and your book on newrealities.com. So please check that out. Again, you have been listening to Alan Steinfeld discussing the Arrow Report on Beyond the Skyline right here on the Conscious Awakening Network. So tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time for more on UAPs, which I'm going to change back to UFOs, to get more information on UFOs, disclosure, and experiences of all kinds. So until then, everyone, keep looking up and namaste.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you.